Last Sunday in the Adult Forum, we began what's going to be a monthly series called Signs in the Times. And in our discussion, yes, last Sunday at 11:30, we quickly hit on a theme that will come up undoubtedly again and again in that series. Now, the series, as you know, is an opportunity for us to look at some of the current news events and use the filter of our faith and our religious practices to sort of hopefully look at them and see them in a new and different way. It's the kind of thing that will allow us to read People magazine and really feel for Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt and all of their trouble. No, we will look at things that are more serious than that, probably. Who knows? We could come to that. But one of the things that's clear as we look at these stories and we look at, you know, what we hear in the popular media about God. And the other thing that comes up that ties into our gospel day is what people do in the name of God. We hear it all over, all the time. Different people doing things in the name of God. In today's gospel story, John, the beloved disciple, comes running up to Jesus in some sort of tither and says, "Teacher, teacher," he says, "we saw someone casting out demons in your name." Now, on first blush, this sounds pretty good. Someone running around doing stuff in the name of Jesus, in the name of God's Son, in the name of God. I mean, isn't that what we talk about doing around here all the time? We're constantly asking, what good can we do in the name of God? It is a question we should be asking ourselves all the time. What can I do in the name of Jesus, in the name of the one who died for me? Now, you would think that John, one of these top-notch disciples, would get this right. And by top-notch, I mean, you know, Peter, James, and John the beloved disciple. We're not talking about Bartholomew or something here. We're talking about John. You would think he would have the perfect response to this. You know, here was somebody doing exactly what Jesus wants us to do. So he must be coming to ask Jesus if they should give this guy a gold star or maybe a printed-out certificate or at least buy him dinner. So just hold that context for a minute before we get to the next line in the gospel. Now, the most exciting thing that happens around here is when one of you does something cool, wonderful, or amazing in the name of our living Christ. And I'll tell you, it happens all the time. When you pray for each other, when you take care of each other, when you throw parties for each other, when you lead new programs in spiritual enrichment, when you serve in the second time around shop, when you serve in Tony's kitchen, when you do these things in the name of our living Christ, in the name of Jesus, this is amazing. And I am so blessed to have this front row seats, even better than the seats I had at the Springsteen concert last week, front row seats to see this amazing show that goes on and on. I'm continually in awe of the things that are done in this place in the name of God. And yet, despite your incredible body of work, to the best of my knowledge, no one here has actually cast out a demon. Certainly wrestled with demons. Sometimes we cast out the garbage. It seems kind of demonic. But nobody's actually cast out a demon. So that would be really incredible if somebody did that. So I can only imagine what John's reaction should be in this case. So let's look. Let's look at the beloved disciple's exclamation again. "Teacher," he says, "we saw someone casting out demons in your name." Wait for it. "And we tried to stop him because he was not following us." And we tried to stop him because he was not following us. Both parts of this are worthy of discussion. First, that he tried to stop him. And the second, for the reason, because he was not one of us, because he was not following us. There is wonderful folly, I think, in this first part. Because if someone is really doing the will of God, if somebody is really doing something in God's name, there's no way to stop God. People have tried, but we'll come back to this in a second. The second is the reason. John said, he was not following us. He was not one of us. He wasn't following our rules, so he can't play. That's an age-old argument. He wasn't doing it the way we've always done it. Now, I'll admit, Jesus' response, because we've read it already, is a bit anticlimactic. But Jesus' response is perfect. And at first blush, it's a very simple lesson that we can live into pretty easily. Jesus says to John, chill out. Don't stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will soon be able to speak evil of me. Pretty easy. Jesus says that if we do something in his name, it's okay. It makes sense. It's a good thing. Great. Sermon's over. I can sit down. But back to those news stories. We look at this. The hard thing is that throughout history, throughout the world today, there are atrocities and evils that are committed in the name of God, in the name of Jesus. We can go back to the Inquisition, but I want to just look at the stuff that's going on today in the name of God. Whether it's radical Israelis who want to wipe out Arab states because they're a threat, whether it's radical Muslims who want to wipe out the Zionist state because they're evil, whether it's Christians who, in this country, who are spewing hatred at people only because they are more tolerant than what they feel is right, or people wanting to ban other religions in the name of Jesus. All of this stuff is done in the name of God. And in the name of Jesus. And what's clear is what we see in the media is not a good representation of Jews, of Muslims, of Christians, or of any other group. The mainstream, the majority of us, are really kind of dull. And that doesn't get ratings. So we hear from these sensational fringes of every religious group. I mean, it's wonderful what goes on here in a given month. We feed hundreds of people at Tony's Kitchen. We've got dozens of people participating in spiritual enrichment programs. We've got people praying for each other. We've got people praying for peace. But it's not exciting enough to get ratings. There has to be more hatred, I think, to get on TV. God is powerful, but God is not always sexy. And we know what gets hits on the internet and ratings on TV. So before we pat ourselves on the back for feeling really good about not being like John, the beloved disciple, and being wonderfully open to all things and people and with different ideas and what they really do in the name of God, I think we need to look at ourselves a little bit more closely and just see what more we are called to do. If we think for a minute that we are so superior to those who do bad things in the name of God, we probably need to step back and look at the subtleties of our actions. What we do may not be as intrinsically evil as what we see on TV, but what we do sometimes in the name of God in our minds is still hurtful and potentially harmful to others. And I'll be the first to admit it. I do this sometimes. I am a big fan, a huge fan of the Episcopal Church and the way we do things. And as I was thinking about this, I often realized that when I start talking about this and other things, I start sounding a little bit like John. Indignant, absolutely indignant that somebody would do something in the name of our God and not do it the way we would do it. In fact, last night, I was talking to my mother and telling her just how messed up some of the practices of her Baptist church were. It was her birthday. She was glad to hear from me. But the question is, what are those things that we have this sense of superiority about how we do them and who we are? It's in those things, in our arrogance, that we create stumbling blocks for ourselves and for our others and knowing God. I think that's very much what the second part of this gospel is about, in these stumbling blocks. Now, Jesus in this says, you know, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. We don't want any of that, and we won't go back to the Ginsu knife sermon. But what the things that cause us to stumble are so often our heart and our mind. And we need to look at those things and check and evaluate what they're saying and what we do in the name of God. If we are surefire certain that we know that we're doing God's will, we may not be. If we're surefire certain that we're right, we may not be. If we're completely sure that we have the right answer to some big question, we may well be wrong. And that's hard for us to accept. But it's the question that runs through this whole passage. What does it mean to do something in the name of God? Ultimately, the answer is different for each of us in the actions that we take. That's what makes it hard, because my actions for doing something in the name of God are not the same as your actions for doing something in the name of God. What's more important is the similar approach that we take if we really are doing it in the name of God. If we are really to do something in the name of God for ourselves or for others, we have to believe. We have to believe. That doesn't mean that we can't have any doubt. In fact, we should have some doubt. Doubt's good. But we have to believe that Jesus loves us and Jesus came to earth for us. We have to ultimately believe that all will be well. And if we're really to do something in the name of God, we have to be ready to be wrong. We have to discern difficult questions in community and prayer and go forward in bold uncertainty, trusting that whether we got it right or whether we got it wrong, Jesus will give us another chance. The question in the gospel today is one of certainty. And I think at some level, most of us are offended by anybody or any group who thinks they have all the right answers all the time. The surety of righteousness displayed by radical religious groups is almost as off-putting sometimes as the policies and programs that they promote in the name of God. We have to do better. We have to turn to God for the answers and share the answers that we think we have, but share them with humility. And I am so sure, so positive, so convinced that this is the right way to do it, that I'm probably wrong.